This is the reading for March 8th. Psalm 67. God, have mercy on us and bless us and show us your kindness, so the world will learn your ways and all nations will learn that you can save. God, the people should praise you. All people should praise you. The nations should be glad and sing because you judge people fairly. You guide all the nations on earth. God, the people should praise you. All people should praise you. The land has given its crops. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us so people all over the earth will fear him. Numbers chapter 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land that I am giving you as a home, give the Lord offerings made by fire. These may be from your herds or flocks as a smell pleasing to the Lord. These may be burnt offerings or sacrifices for special promises or as gifts to him or as festival offerings. The one who brings the offering shall also give the Lord a grain offering. It should be 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with 1 quart of olive oil. Each time you offer a lamb as a burnt offering or sacrifice, also prepare a quart of wine as a drink offering. If you are giving a male sheep, also prepare a grain offering of 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with 1 1/4 quarts of olive oil. Also prepare 1 1/4 quarts of wine as a drink offering. Its smell will be pleasing to the Lord. If you prepare a young bull as a burnt offering or sacrifice, whether it is for a special promise or a fellowship offering to the Lord, bring a grain offering with the bull. It should be 6 quarts of fine flour mixed with 2 quarts of olive oil. Also, bring 2 quarts of wine as a drink offering. This offering is made by fire, and its smell will be pleasing to the Lord. Prepare each bull or male sheep, lamb, or young goat this way. Do this for every one of the animals you bring. All citizens must do these things in this way, and the smell of their offerings by fire will be pleasing to the Lord. From now on, if foreigners who live among you want to make offerings by fire so the smell will be pleasing to the Lord, they must offer them the same way you do. The law is the same for you and for foreigners, and it will be from now on. You and the foreigners are alike before the Lord. The teachings and rules are the same for you and for the foreigners among you." The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, 'You are going to another land, where I am taking you. When you eat the food there, offer part of it to the Lord. Offer a loaf of bread from the first of your grain, which will be your offering from the threshing floor. From now on, offer to the Lord the first part of your grain.' Now what if you forget to obey any of these commands the Lord gave Moses? These are the Lord's commands given to you through Moses, which began the day the Lord gave them to you and will continue from now on. If the people forget to obey one of these commands, all the people must offer a young bull as a burnt offering, a smell pleasing to the Lord. By law, you must also give the grain offering and the drink offering with it, and you must bring a male goat as a sin offering. The priest will remove that sin for all the Israelites, so they will belong to the Lord. They are forgiven because they didn't know they were sinning. For the wrong they did, they brought offerings to the Lord, an offering by fire and a sin offering. So all the people of Israel and the foreigners living among them will be forgiven. No one meant to do wrong. If just one person sins without meaning to, a year-old female goat must be brought for a sin offering. The priest will remove the sin of the person who sinned accidentally. He will remove it before the Lord, and the person will be forgiven. The same teaching is for everyone who sins accidentally, for those born Israelites and for foreigners living among you. But anyone who sins on purpose is against the Lord and must be cut off from the people, whether it is someone born among you or a foreigner. That person has turned against the Lord's word and has not obeyed his commands. Such a person must surely be cut off from the others. He is guilty." When the Israelites were still in the desert, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and all the people. They held the man under guard because they did not know what to do with him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must die. All the people must kill him by throwing stones at him outside the camp." So all the people took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them this. Tie several pieces of thread together and attach them to the corners of your clothes. Put a blue thread in each one of these tassels. Wear them from now on. You will have these tassels to look at to remind you of all the Lord's commands. Then you will obey them and not be disloyal by following what your bodies and eyes want. Then you will remember to obey all my commands, and you will be God's holy people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Numbers chapter 16. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On turned against Moses. Korah was the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Dathan and Abiram were brothers, the sons of Eliab, and On was the son of Peleth. Dathan, Abiram, and On were from the tribe of Reuben. These men gathered 250 other Israelite men, well-known leaders chosen by the community, and challenged Moses. They came as a group to speak to Moses and Aaron and said, "You have gone too far. All the people are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. So why do you put yourselves above all the people of the Lord?" When Moses heard this, he bowed face down. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who belongs to him. He will bring the one who is holy near to him. He will bring to himself the person he chooses. So Korah, you and all your followers do this. Get some pans for burning incense. Tomorrow put fire and incense in them and take them before the Lord. He will choose the man who is holy. You Levites have gone too far." Moses also said to Korah, "Listen, you Levites, the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelites. He brought you near to himself to do the work in the Lord's holy tent and to stand before all the Israelites and serve them. Isn't that enough? He has brought you and all your fellow Levites near to himself, yet now you want to be priests. You and your followers have joined together against the Lord. Your complaint is not against Aaron." Then Moses called Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come. You have brought us out of a fertile land to this desert to kill us, and now you want to order us around. You haven't brought us into a fertile land. You haven't given us any land with fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? No, we will not come." Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Don't accept their gifts. I have not taken anything from them, not even a donkey, and I have not done wrong to any of them." Then Moses said to Korah, "You and all your followers must stand before the Lord tomorrow, and Aaron will stand there with you and them. Each of you must take your pan and put incense in it. Present these 250 pans before the Lord. You and Aaron must also present your pans." So each man got his pan and put burning incense in it and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance to the meeting tent. Korah gathered all his followers who were against Moses and Aaron, and they stood at the entrance to the meeting tent. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to everyone. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Move away from these men so I can destroy them quickly." But Moses and Aaron bowed face down and cried out, "God, you are the God over the spirits of all people. Please don't be angry with this whole group. Only one man has really sinned." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell everyone to move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Moses stood and went to Dathan and Abiram. The older leaders of Israel followed him. Moses warned the people, "Move away from the tents of these evil men. Don't touch anything of theirs, or you will be destroyed because of their sins." So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram were standing outside their tents with their wives, children, and little babies. Then Moses said, "Now you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things. It was not my idea. If these men die a normal death, the way men usually die, then the Lord did not really send me. But if the Lord does something new, you will know they have insulted the Lord. The ground will open and swallow them. They will be buried alive and will go to the place of the dead, and everything that belongs to them will go with them." When Moses finished saying these things, the ground under the men split open. The earth opened and swallowed them and all their families. All Korah's men and everything they owned went down. They were buried alive, going to the place of the dead, and everything they owned went with them. Then the earth covered them. They died and were gone from the community. The people of Israel around them heard their screams and ran away, saying, "The earth will swallow us too." Then a fire came down from the Lord and destroyed the 250 men who had presented the incense. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, to take all the incense pans out of the fire. Have him scatter the coals a long distance away. But the incense pans are still holy. Take the pans of these men who sinned and lost their lives and hammer them into flat sheets that will be used to cover the altar. They are holy because they were presented to the Lord, and they will be a sign to the Israelites. So Eleazar the priest gathered all the bronze pans that had been brought by the men who were burned up. He had the pans hammered into flat sheets to put on the altar, as the Lord had commanded him through Moses. These sheets were to remind the Israelites that only descendants of Aaron should burn incense before the Lord. Anyone else would die like Korah and his followers. The next day, all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron and said, "You have killed the Lord's people." When the people gathered to complain against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the meeting tent, and the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went in front of the meeting tent. The Lord said to Moses, "Move away from these people so I can destroy them quickly." So Moses and Aaron bowed face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Get your pan and put fire from the altar and incense in it. Hurry to the people and remove their sin. The Lord is angry with them. The sickness has already started." So Aaron did as Moses said. He ran to the middle of the people where the sickness had already started among them. So Aaron offered the incense to remove their sin. He stood between the dead and the living, and the sickness stopped there. But 14,700 people died from that sickness, in addition to those who died because of Korah. Then Aaron went back to Moses at the entrance to the meeting tent. The terrible sickness had been stopped.
Chapter 11.
When they came near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of him. He said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there. No one has ever sat on it. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you what you are doing, say that the Lord needs it. That person will send it here at once." The disciples found the young donkey in the street. It was tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some men standing there asked them, "Why are you untying that donkey?" The disciples answered them as Jesus had told them, so the man let them go. They brought the donkey to Jesus, put their coats on it, and he sat on it. Many spread their coats on the road. Others cut leafy branches in the fields and spread them on the road. Those who went ahead and those who followed him were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is our ancestor David's kingdom that is coming. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus came into Jerusalem and went into the temple courtyard, where he looked around at everything. Since it was already late, he went out with the 12 apostles to Bethany. The next day when they left Bethany, Jesus became hungry. In the distance he saw a fig tree with leaves. He went to see if he could find any figs on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves because it wasn't the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "No one will ever eat fruit from you again." His disciples heard this. When they came to Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple courtyard and began to throw out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the money changers' tables and the chairs of those who sold pigeons. He would not let anyone carry anything across the temple courtyard. Then he taught them by saying, "Scripture says, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a gathering place for thieves." When the chief priests and scribes heard him, they looked for a way to kill him. They were afraid of him because he amazed all the crowds with his teaching. Every evening, Jesus and his disciples would leave the city. While Jesus and his disciples were walking early in the morning, they saw that the fig tree had dried up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said, so he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has dried up." Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God. I can guarantee this truth. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen. He can say to this mountain, 'Be uprooted and thrown into the sea,' and it will be done for him. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received whatever you pray for, and it will be yours. Whenever you pray, forgive anything you have against anyone. Then your Father in heaven will forgive your failures." Jesus and his disciples returned to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple courtyard, the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders came to him. They asked him, "What gives you the right to do these things? Who told you that you could do this?" Jesus said to them, "I'll ask you a question. Answer me, and then I'll tell you why I have the right to do these things. Did John's right to baptize come from heaven or from humans? Answer me." They discussed this among themselves. They said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from humans, then what will happen?" They were afraid of the people. All the people thought of John as a true prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus told them, "Then I won't tell you why I have the right to do these things.